Good morning, and welcome to St. Paul's. If you are visiting with us, a special welcome. I hope you feel at home as we worship together. And I would invite you to come and stay for a little bit of refreshment afterwards, some coffee and tea that we have in Campbell Hall down at that end of the building. If you're looking for some information on the church, you can find that at the hub desk just in the lobby here. We do have a few announcements as we get started, so we'll look at some of those. We do need some help with doing Kid Check. For those who don't know or just not aware, we have a check-in program for the children who will be in the Sunday school and in the nursery to make sure that they are safe and secure. Part of it is if there was a problem, say a fire, we have a way of knowing exactly who is here and where they're supposed to be, and so we're able to find them. So that's part of why we have the Kid Check program. But we do need some more people to help with the check-in process. Now, if you have been involved before and you gave up because it was such a frustration, the process, I'm here to say that we have some new tech. And the new tech is making the process work really, really well. So if you gave up before, perhaps this is the time where you could try again, because it should work well. If you're able to help in any way with that, once a month even would be great. You can speak to Jeremy, and he would be happy to show you what to do and to put you on the schedule. If you paid for a photo directory or the memory stick with the pictures on it, you can pick those up in Campbell Hall following the service. Seniors Lunch is coming up on Wednesday, April 24th, and you need to sign up for that so we know that you are coming. And Phil Kim, formerly of St. Paul's, will be there to lead a hymn sing. And finally, our last announcement. How many of you found the error in the announcement? Okay, that's good. There's a few more here. Right at the bottom of the page is the announcement about the spring cleanup day. It will be on Saturday, May the 4th. We are not asking you to come on Easter Sunday to clean up the church. So just for clarification. So Saturday, May 4th, if you are able to put in a couple of hours of raking or just helping to tidy up around the property and the building, that would be marvelous. But to do it on Saturday, May 4th, not on Easter Sunday. The other announcements I will leave with you. Let us prepare to worship God.
Sing to the Lord, Hosanna, Hosanna. For you know,
such exuberance in a Presbyterian church. Wow. I love it. A couple of announcements I didn't make is this is Holy Week, and we have a Monday-Thursday service at 7 o'clock. It is a foot-washing, hand-washing service. You don't have to participate in that part, with communion as well. That's Thursday at 7, and our Good Friday service is at 10 a.m. on Friday. Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and the people lined the roads, the people joined him on the roads, and they proclaimed Hosanna. Actually, they proclaimed Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Proclaiming Jesus King. They didn't fully understand what they were doing, but they were speaking truth. And we continue to speak truth today. Hosanna in the highest, to the King of Kings, to the Lord Jesus. Let us worship him. Let's pray together. Our loving, holy, good God, we bow in your presence this day because you have promised to be where your people are gathered, and we are gathered here in this place so we know with all confidence and trust in you that you are present here by your Spirit. So we bow ourselves before you to acknowledge you as God, that you, our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, that you, Jesus, our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, by your grace, by your self-sacrifice on the cross, your resurrection from the dead, and you, Holy Spirit, present here, present in our lives, working to make us a new people, we bow before you, Father, Son, and Spirit, Holy God, and bring you praises and honor and blessing. You are worthy, Lord, of all we are able to give. Bless us, we pray, with your grace. Bless us with your mercy. We confess before you that we are a sinful people, that we forget about you, or we consider our way better than your way. And we do things and say things that dishonor you and bring harm to ourselves and those around us. Lord, in Jesus, forgive us. In Jesus, forgive us all our sin. In Jesus, heal us of the brokenness we know because of sin in our lives and the sin in those around us. And by your Spirit, Lord, make us a new people, that we should follow you and love you as you love us and serve you. Be glorified, Lord, in the worship we present to you this day. For we ask all of this in Jesus Christ, as we continue to pray together our Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us hear God's word together.
This morning's reading is Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish?
I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest.
Yet you are enthroned by, as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. Ancestors put your trust. They trusted, and you believed them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame.
I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people.
All who seek me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads.
He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.
Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help.
Many wolves surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me.
Roaring lions that tear their prey open, their mouths wide against me.
I am poured out for water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me.
My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death.
Surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet.
All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me.
They divide my clothes amongst them
and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me.
Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs.
Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen.
I will declare your name to my people, in the assembly I will praise you.
You will fear the Lord. Praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him. All of you descendants of Israel.
For he has despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help.
From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows.
The Lord will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him.
For he belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations.
All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive,
prosperity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord.
They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to the people, yet unborn, he has done it. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Here, if you like, and if there are any other children that would like to come and join us, come on up. What an exciting day! Can you imagine if we were there in Jerusalem when Jesus came riding on the donkey through the streets? He was riding on a donkey. Yes, our King came riding on a donkey. Come on over here. Yeah. push down a little bit, will you? There we go. Yeah. And the people were so excited. And they were throwing, well, they had, some of them had palm branches. Some of them just had clothing, and they were throwing it down for Jesus to ride over. Because although Jesus hadn't come to the place yet where they knew he was Savior, they knew that Jesus was special and that he was King, coming riding into Jerusalem on the donkey. And they were shouting. What were they shouting?
Hosanna.
What does that mean? Hosanna, Hosanna. What were they saying? Yeah, can mean that. What else could it mean? Remember we talked about this? Ah, save us, save us. Hosanna, here comes our King. And he's riding on this donkey. Would you expect the King of Kings to come riding on a donkey? Would you expect the King of Kings to come in to Jerusalem and people were shouting and excited to see him? They didn't know what was going to happen. We know, don't we? We've heard the story before, but they didn't know what was going to happen. So exciting things were happening. And we're gonna learn more about that when we go upstairs, about what happened on that day and how exciting it must have been for the people. They knew something was going on. If you were there as a child, if you were watching all what was going on, what would you ask? What would you think? Anybody? Yeah? Surprised, yeah. What else? Would you just be excited with the crowd? Yeah. So we're going to find out a whole lot more about Jesus today when we go upstairs. But let's have a prayer before we go up. Okay, can everybody pay attention for just a second? Thank you, God, for this day, for Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem. Help us, Lord, to understand that Jesus saves us. Hosanna. Hosanna to the Lord. Amen. Okay, I'm going to need a leader. Guangdong, would you lead us up?
Just before we pray, there's a gray Mazda in the parking lot, the front parking lot, in the handicap, and the engine is running. Makes it easy to steal, just saying. Can wait until I pray and everybody's eyes are closed and you can get up and fix it. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for your word to us and we pray that you would open your word, open us to your word. May your spirit do your thing in us and bring glory to your name. In Jesus Christ, amen.
Jerusalem, behold your King, your long awaited.
We are reading from John 18 today, verses 28 to 40. Let us hear God's word. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. Now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week, I placed myself in the story, and I brought you along with me as we looked at the story of Mary anointing Jesus' feet with perfume. This morning, I am putting you into the story. So I need you to picture a scene in your minds, and I need you to place yourself in that scene, and it'll become clear as we move along. If it will help you to do so, you can close your eyes without me assuming you are asleep, but snoring would be appreciated not. If it would help, you can use the image to focus on, however it works best for you to be able to place yourself in this scene. The sun has been up for just a short time. The large hall in which you stand is made of cold stone. There are small windows high in the wall, and the ceiling is vaulted over with stone. There's still kind of a musty, damp smell in the room from the cool night that has just passed. The sun's rays are just beginning to shine through the high windows. Outside in the city is starting to come alive. Merchants are opening their shops. Craftsmen are gathering their tools. In the middle of the large room in which you stand, there is a man of no apparent consequence. He has been up and awake for probably 25 or 26 hours. He spent the early part of the night struggling within himself and praying, and spent the latter part of the night and the early morning being questioned, being accused, being struck, and being spat upon. And you can see from where you stand that he is just about exhausted, emotionally and physically. He stands there. Not the revolutionary you were told to expect, but a tired man who appears to be a broken man. He stands there for a long time waiting, and you wonder why he has not yet fallen down from fatigue. Then your boss walks into the room, Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea. The highest-ranking Roman official in the land, powerful enough to move the army against a city without asking permission if it was in the best interest of the empire. Your boss, Pilate, he has had a full night's sleep. Though he was wakened earlier than he likes, still, he looks well-rested and fresh and strong, ready to face another day with these troublesome people. He had just been outside talking to some of them, talking about this very man, this weary man. They talked at length before Pilate returned to the hall in which you stand. Your job, to keep an eye on this man, lest he make a break for it. This you find quite amusing, as not only is he in no state to make a break, but you understood that he surrendered without so much as a fight. When Pilate enters the room, he did not approach the prisoner as you expected him to, but he remained by the door and called the man to come to him. You watch with interest to see what will happen. It looks like it is taking most of the man's strength to walk across the large room to the place where Pilate stands. But as he moves past you, you see something. Is it a glint in his eyes, at the firm set of his mouth, and you realize that this is not a defeated man? When he finally arrives before Pilate, he stops And Pilate looks him over, and the man returns the gaze, but there's something more to it. It is as if the man is seeing right into the judge standing before him. And finally, Pilate asks, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And you're beginning to understand what's going on. You had heard amongst the people that there was one, the Messiah, they called him, one that was their king, the King of the Jews. This must be that man. But he doesn't look like any king you had ever seen. And just as you think this, the man answers Pilate, but he answers the question with a question of his own. "Is that your own idea, or did others speak to you about me?" Not the right thing to say. You know Pilate, and you see the red in his face growing with rage. You know what Pilate is capable of doing when provoked. You know that he favors excessive force and violence to deal with troublemakers. And you find you're almost feeling sorry for this poor old man. But no, he's not old, is he? He looks kind of old because of his condition and maybe the careworn face and maybe the wisdom in the eyes. Once again, you realize there is more to this man than you first thought. Pilate speaks, only partially concealing his anger. "Am I a Jew? Your own people, your chief priest, handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Pilate was great at that, wasn't he? He could change the subject without the accused even knowing that it had happened. Pilate was the one who determined the course of conversation. He was the one who determined guilt or innocence. And he was the one who determined how it would all happen. But as the man responds, you realize that there is more to him than you thought. He does not allow Pilate to direct the conversation. Instead, he carries on with the topic that had already been covered. And he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." You have to use all of your resources to keep your mouth from dropping open. You are sure you couldn't have heard him right. A kingdom, not of this world, a kingdom from another place. You find that you have to restrain yourself from walking over just to be able to look into his eyes. Even as you consider this, you again hear Pilate's voice. "You are a king then." And you hear the words, but you wonder to yourself if Pilate asked them as a question or if he said it as a statement of fact. And so you look at Pilate and on his face you realize he's not sure himself if he had just asked a question or if he had just made a statement. The prisoner responds as you stare mesmerized. "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and come into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." You see that Pilate is faced with a question. Not the question of whether or not this man is guilty of any crime. Both you and he know that he has done nothing wrong. No, the question with which Pilate is faced is whether or not he will respond to the truth. This man, Jesus, you were told, a carpenter, a preacher, a rabbi, a healer, a miracle worker, claiming to be a king, claiming to testify to the truth. What will Pilate do? As Pilate responds, you hold your breath, waiting to hear what he will say. What is truth? You know Pilate is no keen philosopher. You know that he did not just ask a profound question. You have just witnessed your boss reject Jesus as he stood before him. And even as you think this, Pilate turns on his heel and walks out of the room and goes back out to speak with the crowd. And from what you heard from the crowd earlier and from what you know about Pilate, you know that this will not end well for this Jesus. You know that soon he will die. But the scene is not over yet. You are still standing there, keeping watch over that tired man who claims to be king, just an arm's reach away. You've seen and heard Pilate respond to Jesus' claim, and even as you wonder about this, Jesus turns and looks directly at you. He looks right at you. He looks in your eyes, and it seems as though he sees into your heart. He sees into your soul. And you know that you are now faced with the same question that Pilate faced. What is your response to the truth? What is your response to Jesus? As he stands before you and claims to be king, claims to be your king, what is your response? The scene in that damp, musty hall has not ended, nor will it end until you have made your choice, until you have made your response to the truth. You can choose, as did Pilate, to reject Jesus as king and put him down to being either a fool or a liar and to go about your life, your own master, as your own king or queen, proclaiming your own truth. But I think as you saw Jesus standing there that he is no fool. He is no liar. And in fact, if there's one thing that history agrees on, Jesus is no fool. He is no liar. And Jesus continues to look at you and to see into your very soul. And he sees you and he sees me as we really are. He sees past the masks that we wear to see our true selves. He looks past the masks that we wear to hide our sin, to hide our brokenness, to hide our doubts, to hide our fears. He sees the true us that we will admit to only when we are most vulnerable. He looks into your soul and into my soul, and the look on his face is one of deep and profound love. And he looks you in the eye, and he says, "Everything I am about to do, I am doing for you. Everything. I will bear the pain and the suffering for you. I will endure the mockery and the rejection for you. I will allow myself to be crucified for you, that your sins, all your sins, should be forgiven. I will experience complete and total separation and breaking from my Father for you. I will die for you so that you can have life, even to eternity. Everything I am about to do, I am doing for you. Everything. I am doing it to forgive your sin, to heal your brokenness, to calm your doubts, and to relieve your fears. This is King Jesus standing before you, the Messiah of God, who is offering his life up to you and for you. Jesus is Savior through his life and his death on the cross and his rising up from the dead, but he is also King. He is Lord, and he is worthy not only of our trust in him to save us, but he is worthy of our devotion, that we should follow him and learn from him and grow to be more like him. So as you stand there in that damp, musty hall, with Jesus looking into your eyes and seeing into your soul, you hear the words, "You are a king then." How will you respond? As you stand there in that hall, Jesus is about to be judged by the crowd outside. But Jesus is also about to be judged by you and by me. Is he king or not? Is he your king or is he not? And if he is your king, what does that mean to you and for you? If he is your king, what will the rest of today look like? What will this week look like if you live with Jesus as your king? The choice is yours. Let's pray together. Most holy God, you know us. You know us through and through. You know the truest and most real us, and you love us. Our God, you see and know our deepest secrets. You know our darkest secrets that we want no one to know. And you know them and you love us. You see and know the depth of the doubts that we have about you. You see and know the depths of the suspicions that we hold for you. And you love us. You know us better than we know ourselves. And you love us. You love us to the point of the cross and back. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for loving us in spite of our dark secrets, for loving us in spite of the doubts we have, and for loving us in spite of the suspicions that we have. We thank you for loving us even when we cannot love ourselves. And we thank you that you love us as we are. But we thank you that you love us too much to leave us the way we are. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Fill us to overflowing with that love. Bless us that we should be open to all that you would give to us. And we pray, Lord, your blessing upon this community. And we pray for the people of this community that they should know the depth of your love for them. And we pray that you would use us to do that. That you would express your love to your people through us. That you would express your love to the people of this neighborhood through us. That you would express your love to the people of the neighborhoods in which we live through us. That you would express your love to the people we work with or go to school with, and that you would do so through us. And we pray for this world, Lord, that so desperately needs you, that so desperately needs the love that you give us in Jesus. Bless us this day and all days to be true signs of your love and grace, your mercy and your compassion, that our very lives would proclaim you and bring honor to your name. Our God, all of this we pray in Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the ways we say thank you to God for the grace he gives us, for the love with which he fills us, is to present to him our offerings. Offerings of our money, of our time, our efforts, the use of our gifts. And we offer those to him now as an expression of our deep and abiding love for him. Our Father, we thank you for the many ways that you have given of yourself to us. We thank you for provision of our lives day by day, for homes and jobs and families, for the good things you give us in life. We thank you particularly for Jesus and the grace that you give us in him to life. Receive these gifts as an expression of our thankfulness to you, and use them to do the work of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
my brothers and sisters, you have a choice every single day, a choice to make. It is not about salvation. It is not something we need to question. When God saves us in Jesus, he saves us, and that's that. That cannot change. But we have a choice in our waking every day. Do we live with Jesus as King or not? Every time we go to work, every time we go home, every time we go anywhere, the choice is ours. Do we live with Jesus as King? The choice is yours. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.